Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, my exciting conversation with Bill O'Reilly. I know a lot of you have been missing him on television. It's a really good conversation. Make sure you listen to the whole thing through. And if you want to come to America Fest, everybody, December 18, 19, 20, 21, it's the largest event in the movement, an event unlike anything anyone's ever seen. Tucker, Kayleigh McEnany, Greg Gutfeld, Ted Cruz, Jesse Waters, Jim Jordan, Candace Owens, and more. TPUSA.com/AMFEST. If you want to meet other people, if you want to get out there, the best money you can spend is on experiences right now. Is really just another pair of shoes or whatever gonna make it happen. Hey, some of you say, I want to get away. I want to go on a trip. Well, what better way to go on a trip and then also meet other young people? People say, Charlie, how do I meet a husband? How do I meet a wife? Well, leaving the house would probably be a necessary step to do that. You're like, oh, I'm going to just meet them on some dating app. Yeah, okay. Or you can come to America Fest where there are thousands and thousands of young people who love God, love the country, and they want to meet other people. TPUSA.com/AMFEST. And if you're a grandparent or parent, go buy a ticket for your grandkid and say, you're going to Phoenix. Have a nice day. And they'll have a good time. So it's not even punishment. It's character building. TPUSA.com/AMFEST. If you want to support our show, charliekirk.com/support. I want to thank those of you that supported us. Christopher from California. Thank you, Kathleen from Alabama. Thank you, James from Pennsylvania. I want to thank Julian from Texas. I want to thank Brianna from California. And I want to thank Linda from Tennessee, Sarah from Indiana, Mike from Delaware, Rebecca from Arizona. And I want to thank Deborah from Washington, charliekirk.com/support. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. My conversation with Bill O'Reilly. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the Charlie Kirk Show. It is a surreal moment right now for me to be able to interview someone that I grew up watching and that I have a great amount of respect for. Bill O'Reilly is with us today. Bill, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Appreciate you having me in, Charlie.
So you have a very important announcement and something very exciting that is coming up. And I'm going to do everything I possibly can to either attend or to watch every minute of this, because I know that this is not just going to be a softball interview, but it won't be a gotcha thing when you do this upcoming tour with President Donald Trump. Talk a little bit about it. I'm so excited to hear about this. Locations, dates, times, and how people can attend if they're interested.
Okay, so we're going to be in Fort Lauderdale Sunrise at the FLA Live Arena. That's where the Panthers play on Saturday, December 11th. It's coming up in about 10 days. And then the next day, we're going to be in Orlando with a Magic play on Sunday, December 12th. Then the next weekend, we're going to Houston, the Toyota Center on Saturday, and the American Airlines Center in Dallas on Sunday. So about 8 months ago, I was reviewing what my upcoming book schedule is going to be, what to write about. And I was thinking about doing something on the Trump administration. I've already written the United States of Trump, and that brings us right to when he was elected. But I didn't. My researcher and I go, we don't know anything about what happened in the Trump 4 years because it was never reported. It was either we want to kill him or we want to canonize him. The day-to-day policies, challenges, interactions, never reported, Charlie. So I said, okay, let me see if I can convince him to do some history shows in big arenas. It took me about a month to convince him because this isn't a rally. It's not relitigating the election. It's, how'd you get the vax? How'd you deal with Putin? Putin speak English? What's on Putin's mind? What does he want? Xi in China, that guy capable of blowing up the world? Is he reasonable about ISIS? How'd you knock out ISIS? Now, those are important questions I think anybody would want the answer to. So he finally said, okay, we'll do some shows. So he put these together. And I think it's going to be an amazing experience for whoever attends. You're going to be mesmerized for 2 hours and 20 minutes.
And so to get the tickets, I think they go to Ticketmaster.com for the Sunrise event and the Dallas, Texas event. And for the Houston, Texas one, they go to ToyotaCenter.com. Is that correct?
Ticketmaster has all four. But look, the easiest way, Charlie, to do this is go to BillO'Reilly.com.
That's the easiest way. That's what they should do.
We have a little box. You hit the box and say, I want this theater, and then we shoot you right over there. So it's so simple, and that's the easiest way to do it.
So our audience is obviously full of a lot of admirers of President Trump, but I am as well. But I'll just be very interested, though, to kind of see a deeper dive into his presidency. And so can you explain a little bit further why you think this has not yet been done? You mentioned it briefly. It's either they want to kill him or canonize him. But also, is the media somehow afraid or unwilling that there actually might be a discovery process of a president who actually got something done or knew what he was doing? Why do you think that this hasn't been done yet?
Well, there was no drive on the part of the corrupt corporate media, like a Disney, Comcast, CBS, no drive at all to say anything good about Donald Trump. So that when he started to rack up accomplishments, they ignored them. And they still do that to this day. Just today, the Biden administration announced that the Remain in Mexico policy, which stopped the mass migration into this country, Trump did it. Took Trump almost 3 years to do it, but he got it. And then, as you know, the first day he was in office, Biden knocked it out. And we've got millions of foreign nationals in here now, unsupervised. So Biden lost in the courts. He has to go back to the Trump policy. But the corporate media, and that's what we rely on here in America, because they have the resources to send reporters all over the world. They have the resources to dig stuff up. They have big staffs. They didn't investigate anything. Russian collusion, not interested. He's guilty. We don't care what happened. I mean, after you can just take it. Policy after policy after policy. Look at ISIS. That was a huge achievement for the Trump administration. My next book is called Killing the Killers, The Secret War Against Terrorists. So I know what happened because we've just finished writing that book. It'll be out in May. But nobody else does. And that's the kind of stuff that I'm going to direct to President Trump up on the stage. Now, hopefully he will answer the questions and not wander. It's my job to keep him from being Dion, the wanderer. I got to keep him focused. But I think it's going to be, look, let's put it this way, Charlie. You go to this show, you're not going to be bored.
I think that is a guarantee. I have to say that, and I just look forward to seeing it. And also, I think he's going to enjoy some of the more difficult questions. I actually think he wants it. I think he wants to be challenged on, or at least play devil advocate again. I just don't think he wants anything unfair, obviously. But to have to defend his presidency, there's a lot there, from the virus to the response, to, as you said, the foreign policy accomplishments. So, Bill, I want to ask you just kind of about the state of the nation. You know, growing up in grade school, I used to watch your show. I always enjoyed it. My parents were huge O'Reilly Factor fans and still are of all your books. But I always enjoyed and appreciated how you were able to cut to what was just kind of the common sense ethic of America. It wasn't conservative, it wasn't liberal. It's just like, here's what common sense dictates or necessitates. Why does it seem that is so rare right now in our country? And how do we restore it?
Well, I was at Fox for more than 20 years. When I left, management changed, philosophy changed, and it became much more of a advocacy network. Fox News advocates. That's what they do. Now, I didn't do that. As you point out, I was a problem solver. I'd say, okay, here's the problem affecting all Americans. Here's how we might want to go about solving that problem. And you'll remember I had people opposite me, liberal people or independents, whatever it may be. And there was a debate flow. You don't see that anymore. All right. On any of the cable, it's like, okay, joining us now is someone who agrees with me 100%. That's what they do. And that's why they're losing audience. And then, you know, there's a lot of conspiracy stuff, a lot of fringe stuff floating on in there. So the country is not better served for that. And I'm just putting a plug for the No Spin News. I do a TV show every night on BillO'Reilly.com. You can see it on thefirsttv.com. That's our distribution arm. And I have honed the factor now. We only have one guest because I have so much to analyze and so much to get into. Stories that you never heard of. And, you know, because when I left Fox, I took five people with me. And I think we have the best research staff in the country. And we go into stories and areas where American people have no blanking clue. So the Biden administration's horrendous. I think any clear thinking person would admit that. The Trafalgar poll today says job approval is 36%. That's Nixon territory. Okay. And to me, watching Joe Biden, I don't see a man who's in control of the executive branch. I see a man who's being told what to do and say. So how is he going to solve all these problems that he's brought upon the nation? The inflation, higher prices everywhere, open border. How's Biden going to do that? So we stay ahead of those stories. And, you know, unfortunately, Americans are not able to get honest information from 90% of their news agencies. And a lot of them are just lost. They just don't know what's happening.
So speaking more kind of culturally, it seems that kind of the American people remain in a place where they want, you could call it common sense, but they just want real results for themselves. And it's been an obviously very turbulent and chaotic last couple of years. There's also this massive war on American history, which I do want to get your thoughts on. You wrote a phenomenal book, Killing Lincoln, Killing Patton. The whole series is incredible. What is your personal opinion or your analysis of when you start to see public high schools in San Francisco renaming schools that have Abraham Lincoln on it? Where do you rank the kind of deletion of American history on the hierarchy of things we should be concerned about?
So what happened was this. Once the progressive left, the far left elements who want to destroy the fabric of traditional America, once they realized that the corporate media was going to enable them, and that became clear after the George Floyd situation. So once the progressive left said, we can take this to the limit, to quote the Eagles, and nobody's going to criticize us in the mainstream media, with the exception of Fox and a few of the conservative outlets, talk radio. So we can run wild. So what we're going to do is we're going to brand all the founding fathers, all of the titans of American history as racist, including Abraham Lincoln. They're all racist, white supremacists, and they exploited people of color, and that's what America is built upon. Not built upon freedom, not built upon pursuit of happiness. It's built upon racism. Once that narrative was pushed out and accepted by many in the media, look at The View, okay? Here's a Disney program on every day, coast to coast. And these women on that program are spouting the most anti-American gibberish you could possibly imagine. You couldn't get any more extreme. Now, I've been on The View 20 times when Barbara Walters was there, and it wasn't a crazy show then. They had Behar, who's always been a loon, but, you know, there was a little balance. Not anymore. AOC, Cortez, she knows she can say the most outrageous things and accuse and demean and demonize. Nobody's going to come after her, with the exception of the conservative outlets. So then a San Francisco or a Chicago or a New York City, those politicians pick that up. And then they start whittling down American tradition. We're bad. We're not noble. We're bad. We're evil. We got to knock out capitalism. We got to change to equity where people of color are favored over white people. Now, that's happening most colleges across the country. Okay. So once they realized nobody was going to come after them, then it went wild. And the George Floyd case was the linchpin to that.
I think that's spot on. And also, as kind of a cousin to that, we are seeing the unraveling of civil society. I'm sure you've seen the videos on the looting and the news reports around that. And Bill, one of the things that you used to do on your show was that you used to zero in on a micro story, a judge or a prosecutor that was just totally completely out of line. Can you talk to our younger audience about what, you know, how you focused on that? And I think that's missing right now, to be perfectly honest, because how many prosecutors right now are just allowing criminals to go loose? Look at what happened in Wisconsin, right? In Wisconsin, the $1,000 bail for Daryl Brooks, and then he ends up getting released and killing six children, some of whom are still in the ICU, by the way, right now, and injuring over 60 others. Please comment on that.
Well, it's even worse than you think. So this week on the No Spin News, and I'd like your audience just to check us out. I think you'll find a lot of things there that you find worthwhile. One of my stories, and this has been reported nowhere else, was there is a growing subculture of young males between 13 and 26 in America who are sociopaths. A sociopath is someone with no human feeling for other people. So the guy, a 12-year-old, come up with a knife and kill you. In fact, in some gangs, that's the initiation rite. This is a crew that's now rising. It's like an infection. It's like COVID. Uh-huh. And Chicago's the bad ground zero for it. So these gangs, drug gangs, they recruit the little kids because the parents are derelict and the kids are so screwed up. And they're forming little armies. And the armies go around and they kill people, mostly blacks. All right, and they just terrorize entire neighborhoods. Now, the smash and grab that you referred to, these are organized criminals. But the reason they do it in such a bold manner is because they know in California, they can steal $999 and not get prosecuted. Okay, that's the law in California. You can just steal. And the police, demoralized across the country, they're going, why should I bother? So these people run in, they cause physical damage to guards and all that. They run out and they sell the stuff on the internet. If you're not, if the criminal justice system is not going to hold criminality responsible, then you're not going to have a criminal justice system. We don't have it in New York, where I live. We don't have it in Chicago. We don't have it in L.A. We don't have it in Portland, Oregon. We don't have it in Minneapolis. I mean, it's like an infection. And these young kids, they know they can get away with pretty much anything.
And so, Bill, you and I might not agree on this. I don't know. I'm just assuming. I immediately go to the place, how could this be anything but intentional? Do you think that it's weakness, or do you think it's some sort of a plan to try to have America just be allowing anarchy? The point is that I refuse to believe that it just so happens New York, Chicago, and L.A. that there isn't an agenda behind this to almost excuse the lawlessness. Or do you think that it's just political correctness gone wrong, the defund police narrative?
It's the same agenda, Charlie. Break down all the institutions in the country. So break down capitalism because capitalism is racist. Break down criminal justice because people of color go to prison more than whites. Knock it out. Don't enforce the law because it's primarily black people who are breaking the law. So we're not going to enforce it. You know, in Chicago, violent crime, the victims, more than 90% African American. The victims. Okay? So these people, you know, somebody wants to go to the grocery store, they're walking their kid in the park, and all of a sudden a guy comes up with a Glock and starts shooting all of this. I mean, where's the protection for these poor people? Where? But the progressive left wants to break it all down and then reimagine. When you hear that word, reimagine, that's what this is. We're going to create another justice system and another economic system, at another, whatever it may be. That's what they're after.
So I think that's so smart. And the word reimagine is used repeatedly by AOC, who you mentioned earlier. It's one of her favorite phrases. We need to reimagine the justice system, reimagine how we put things together. Let me ask you, Bill, I'd be interested on your honest take here. What have conservatives done wrong in trying to push back against this radical left force? Where do you think the conservative movement has failed in this regard? Because obviously, America's more dangerous than it was 5 years ago.
Much more dangerous. So the conservative movement is all over the place. Okay? That's the progressives are tight. I mean, they have their agenda, and there's not a lot of deviation there. But conservative individuals in America, they're not organized. And it used to be when I was at Fox that Fox would be the town hall. That would be the place to go. Not happening anymore. All right, because of money concerns and a whole bunch of stuff, complicated. So conservatives are frustrated because they see the power shift into the progressive precincts because that's where the media is. So if you're a conservative, you can't get on the air at CNN or MSNBC. Look at their roster. There aren't any. On Fox, you can get on the air. And you can have a nice career, but there's no drive there, okay, to consolidate a group to fight the other group, the progressives. Mm. And then you guys got like George Soros, were literally pouring tens of millions of dollars into the local district attorney races, the local legislature races to elect the most irresponsible, far-left people they can. There's nothing like that on the right. Nothing. And that's what you're seeing.
And I want to remind our audience, and I actually had it pulled up earlier, you covered the George Soros story, I think 10 or 15 years ago, well before anyone. Please elaborate on that.
Soros, yeah, in the beginning, used his Open Society Foundation to go national. All right? But it was mixed results. And when Trump was elected, Soros went, it's not working. Now he's local. So some nut wants to run for district attorney in San Francisco. And literally the guy there is a nut, Boy Dean. And through a political action committee, Soros will put in $5 million. So who's ever running against him can't compete money-wise. And that's happening all over the place. So Soros, evil man, in my opinion, evil, and wants to destroy the fabric of America. And people go, why? I don't know. I never met him. I mean, he was behind a lot of attacks on me. I know that. Funded them. But I don't know why he wants to destroy this country. But he does.
And so Bill, you're a historian, and I would love your take on this. And I'm not saying this in a way to try to excite the audience in any way. It's a pure and simple question because a lot of people ask this. Do you think, given where we are headed, could you see America heading towards some version of a splitting or a civil war? Or do you think that's over exaggerated?
That's not going to happen. The states are going to take on more power. So Biden's main goal is to consolidate power in Washington, to make you and me and everybody else dependent on the federal government. So now it's up to about $45,000 that the federal government will give you every year. You wonder supply chain. You wonder why 5 million left the workforce. If you're shrewd, you can game the system and get $45,000 a year free money. But that makes you dependent on Biden and the Democrats. Now, what is going to happen, in my opinion, is Biden is so horrendous in the way he is governing this country. And if you don't believe me or your viewers don't believe me, name one thing since he's been president, just one, that has improved this country. One.
You're right, Bill. So let me get your take on this then. then why does it seem as if Biden is not adjusting? You mentioned Nixon.
Because he's not. In order for to adjust, Biden would have to analyze what's happening. It's not what he does. He does what he's told to do. It's not like he's sitting there going, gee, I'm going to go back and the remain in Mexico policy. The only reason he's doing it is because the court said you can't throw it out. But Biden doesn't have any mental acuity to solve any problem at all. Next year in November, the Republicans are likely to have a historic landslide victory in this country. And that will really weaken the progressive movement and the Biden administration. I predict that Republicans will carry both houses of Congress and most governorships across the country. Folks have had it. They don't follow the news like you and I, Charlie, but they know when they're getting screwed. Mm-hmm. And they know when the guy in charge can't do the job. And that's where we are.
So I agree with you that Biden personally doesn't have the mental, you know, acuity or sharpness to be able to handle this. But why is that the people around him, they seem to be accelerating the unpopular measures? I mean, for example, the way we pulled out of Afghanistan, the arming of the Taliban, I could go on and on, from the OSHA vaccine mandate, despite what the courts have saying, and it's not even popular, to inflation, supply chain crisis. Are they prioritizing ideology over what's best for the American people? And have we seen a president like this in the modern era, a presidency? Forget Joe Biden for a second, just the people around him, Ron Klain, you know, Jen Psaki. I'm struggling with this bill because it's almost as if they don't care that it's hurting people and that it's unpopular.
The people who advise Joe Biden are all progressive leftists. There isn't a moderate even close to the White House. They take their cues from Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, those people. And there's a lot of Barack Obama in this. They feel they have one chance to ram these progressive programs through. This is it. That's what the Build Back Better bill, whatever you want to call it, the $5 trillion massive welfare spending. We got one chance to get it through. But Manchin's not going to cooperate, okay, that it won't get it through. But it's all centered around massive change. And that's what they're gambling. They know they're not doing well, but they feel somehow they're going to turn it around, create a welfare state, make most people dependent on the government, and then they'll rise again. That, I think, is their strategy.
So in closing, Bill, I want to ask about what gives you hope. There's been a lot of different stories that obviously we could go on. We talk a little about the crime and all this. What are you seeing that is starting to give you hope in the country that we might have some of our best days ahead?
The fundamental character of the American people has not changed. The problem is this, right? Mm. This is the problem right here. Because now millions and millions of Americans have checked out from civic responsibility and checked in to the social media world. That is a profound change. But fundamentally, most Americans don't want this crazy, progressive, socialism, woke garbage. So I think those folks are finally going to wise up and mobilize. I could be wrong, but I got my finger on the pulse of this country, and I think I have for a long time. But it is not going to be easy because, again, the corrupt corporate media is all in for Biden and the progressive left. And they'll fight like hell to hurt people like me, like you, who challenge them.
I think that's right on. So the last question, Bill, is you're about to go on tour with Donald Trump, President Trump. BillO'Reilly.com is the place to check it out and to get your tickets. In your own personal opinion, being a friend of the president's, but also an honest onlooker, do you think he should run again?
Should is a tough word. He wants to run again. He believes that if he gets reelected, his policies will restore the nation. His policies are pretty good, Charlie. Not all of them, but most of them. They brought a real solid economy. They put our adversaries on the defense overseas. But in order for Donald Trump to be an effective president the second time around, it's got to change. He's got to stop with all the bombastic fighting. He's got to do that. Run on your record. That's what I tell him. That's why I'm doing the show. We'll establish a record. Now, I'm not rooting for anybody. That's not what I do. Okay? Mm-hmm. But if I'm his advisor, and he does ask me for advice from time to time, you gotta knock out all the excess. Run on your record. Compare your record to Biden. Take it down. And you could win.
Well, yeah, let me phrase it a little bit better. Do you think it's good for the country?
I don't know.
Okay.
You'd have to have another Republican who rises up, who's got the charisma to go up against the savage media, which will try to tear that person apart. I mean, it's so wicked. Trump has that. He can absorb that punishment. I don't know how many other Republicans can.
That's a really good point. BillO'Reilly.com. Bill, thank you for all you do. And everyone check out No Spin News and get your tickets to the upcoming stops. They're going to be a lot of fun. Bill, thank you so much. This was a great conversation.
Charlie, thanks for having me in.
Thanks. Talk to you soon. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to come to America Fest, it's tpusa.com/AMFEST. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.